Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our 30 Minutes of Wisdom call for Friday, December 9th. This is Gregory Mascari here in Bozeman, Montana, and I want to thank everyone for joining us here on our live call or on the replay. Robin and I started these regular weekly 30 Minute of Wisdom calls as kind of as our way of paying it back, or in some regards, I guess really paying it forward for all the amazing people we've been blessed to meet, all the lessons we've learned, and all the opportunities we've been given over the years and over these decades. And our intention with these Friday morning 30-minute of wisdom calls is to create a safe space where people from all professions, backgrounds, and companies can come together and learn from some of the most forward-thinking authors, speakers, trainers, and really enlightened beings in the world today. And so what I'd like to do at this time is turn our call over to my partner in life and my beloved Robin Blank Mascari, who will host this call and lead us through the process. So good morning, Robin.
Well, good morning, Gregory, and thank you. And thank you, everyone, for being with us, whether you're listening live or on the recording. We love our growing enlightened networking community and who's showing up for these wonderful, wonderful thought leaders that we get to share with you. So I'm going to take a big, deep breath, and I invite each one of you to join me, and you'll hear more about that in just a minute. So our topic today is three deep breaths, finding power and purpose in a stressed-out world. And our guest is an author, presenter, mentor in the field of conflict resolution, peak performance, and stress management. He's magic. He's worked with multinational executives, military leaders, athletes, parents, and children. He's been in boardrooms, living rooms, doing the work on ski slopes and on the golf course with this material. So as a fifth-degree black belt in the martial art of Aikido, and a student and teacher for many, many years in the martial arts, I believe over 35 years, he has an expertise in the area of body, mind, and spirit, and he absolutely embodies this work every day and in his lifestyle. Ken Blanchard said, I have known him for over 20 years, and he's one of the finest humans I have ever met. He said about his book, Three Deep Breaths, it contains the essence of his life's work. Read this book and let him help change your life. And Mark Victor Hansen, who wrote the foreword of the book, recognizes him as a world changer, a brilliant thinker, and here to do immense amounts of good. So I was fortunate to be introduced to this work over 25 years ago, and I must admit it is with me often, almost daily. And what I love about it is the power and simplicity. And so in times of stress and conflict, I know I can call this in, and I actually call his energy in to feel more connected and relaxed. So I'm going to let him take over, and I want to welcome, it is my joy and privilege to share with you today, Tom Crum. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, Robin. How are you? Hi,
I'm
Gregory.
Great.
In Bozeman.
It's wonderful to be with you. I can just envision you in your A-frame in Aspen, Colorado, and I do want to share also with people, Tom and John Denver were partners and founded the Windstar Foundation back in the 70s, wasn't it, Tom?
It was. It was back in 76, John founded the Windstar Foundation, and then in 79, we found this beautiful piece of land, about 1,000 acres, that we got hold of and used for an educational program and project. Basically, it was just to be a catalyst to make change that makes this world work better.
And you guys were talking about sustainability a long time ago, but I want to jump into this three deep breaths, because I've read your other books and I've read this book, and it's one of those single sitting readings that's life changer. Could you talk a little bit about, you say that these three deep breaths can literally change your life. You can do them in an instant, anywhere, anytime. Would you explain that to people? I think we need something like this right now.
Yeah. Basically, I have found that most of us, in today's crazy busy world, we've multitasked our way right out of the present moment. And it's created an incredible amount of suffering. We look around, we're all so busy, we forget that, you know, we're alive. We're so fully, totally alive. And that somehow gets covered over with things we have to do and with the daily stresses. And the daily stresses are what? They're conflicts, they're pressures, there's a sense of uncertainty. And what I wanted to do was, you know, my life has been about conflict and about dealing with pressure and uncertainty. But I recognize that a lot of people, well, you know, they say, yeah, well, that's what you do every day. You work with that. But I'm really too busy. And it's always bothered me a little bit that people can put off things they can do for themselves that are fantastic just under the guise that they're too busy. And I of course, I didn't want to write a book about stress because I can't be stressful and to read books, self-help books on stress. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to create a story, just a parable of a person like any of us that are just so busy that we do multitask our way right out of the present moment. And this person has a, you know, he misses his primary relationships. He's got a little daughter and he's got a wife and he's got all these things that are so precious and important, but he's never really there because he's always in his mind worried about this, worried about that in the future and past. And he goes through a series of experiences where he meets extraordinary people that are really clothed in ordinary personalities and ordinary professions, and they share with him in very interesting ways simple ideas that he can incorporate. And I think that it the reader starts to learn that, you know what, I can do practice, I can do some skill sets that don't take time. They simply take intention, and you can do them everywhere. And the three deep breaths are basically, I think, fundamental to dealing with conflict, stress, pressure, and uncertainty in today's world. And to know that, you know, you can be doing whatever it is you're doing right now, whether you're driving in the car, whether you're at work, whether you're having an argument with your child, whether you're having fun with a friend, at any place you can start to gain these mind-body skill sets. It increases the joy of our life magnificently, and it starts to turn our life around as well. So that's basic essence of what the book is about. The breaths really fall into three major categories. One is center, the ability to get out of this addictive thinking, this addiction we have to the thinking rational mind, and to enter what I call, or what maybe a Buddhist might call, the big mind, the mind that's also creative, relaxed, flowing, all of that aspect of who we are that's so much greater than the little analytical thinking about the past and the future. So the whole first concept that is available to everybody in any moment is this thing called centering. And centering is I teach it in simple little nuances or stages. It's the first stage that people can do anywhere is to align the body. I mean, anywhere you are right now, if you're driving or listening to this or sitting somewhere, just ask the body to align. What a simple thing to do. It knows how to do it. You start to create a situation in which gravity starts to work through you. You know, your body becomes less asymmetrical. If one shoulder's twisted or the back is bent over a little bit, you naturally straighten a little. The body knows how to do it. When you do that, again, gravity flows through you. Gravity is like a waterfall, 32 feet per second per second. It just continually works, not just outside of ourselves as if we were studying in a physics class, but also inside. And that first little aspect anyone can do anywhere. Second little nuance of getting centered, of integrating the mind and the body and spirit, is to begin to notice that you're breathing. What a concept. You know, there's four fundamental sources of nutrition. There are your thoughts, there's food, there's water, and there's breath. if someone were to say, you know what, Robin, you can only have one of them, which one would you take? Probably, right?
I think I'll start with the air, yes.
Yeah, so this idea of returning to this breath is extremely powerful, and most people don't really do it consciously. Oh, we might go to a yoga class once a week or twice a week or three times a week or know about the importance of diaphragmatic breathing. But I believe we need to shift our autonomic nervous system dramatically each day, and you can do it anywhere. So once you align the body, if you're sitting at, say, a traffic light, perfect place, then begin to notice your breath. It will have a pace. It will have a rhythm. You can close your eyes, you can open your eyes, but just be aware of it. It'll have a certain, literally a sound to it, a certain fullness to it. And as you just are aware of it for even 15 seconds, not only do you become more fascinated by it, but you notice it will change. It will get naturally more rhythmic, deeper, fuller. It will get more diaphragmatic. And when it gets more diaphragmatic, what happens is the lower lobes of your lungs are now, which are most cardiovascularly efficient, start to work at a much higher level. So not only is your health increased right there, but you literally tend to relax into the present moment, which is the third aspect of centering. You not only are aligning the body and aware of your breath, but you start making distinctions in this moment. That's what mindfulness is about. It's not some airy-fairy concept. It is very directly becoming mindful of your surroundings and starting to make distinctions in them. You start to see colors you haven't seen before. You become more of an artist as a result. You start to have feelings that you can feel a little bit more deeply without being overly caught up in the feelings as if they're yours, but as if they're an energy passing through you. You're able to take in sounds differently. And that all becomes fascinating. So what mindfulness starts to lead to is more mindfulness. So centering is really a simple training that one can undergo every day. It's not some ambiguous concept we can't understand.
Well, this character in the book, Angus, you give him some wonderful reminders to increase that awareness and intention. And I love the experience in the car, the centering belt. Could you talk a little about a few little keys that people can use to just increase that awareness and mindfulness to have that deeper experience you're talking about?
Well, you know, I think the experience and the comes with a great deal of motivation, because once you have even a moment of center, and we've all had them, we've all had those moments where we're people might describe them as the zone if you're an athlete. It might be just working on an art project as an artist, and you're just totally caught up into it. You forget to eat. You forget to sleep. It could be in a relationship. There are these moments that we look back and we say, oh, what was that about? Wouldn't I love to be able to have more of that in my life? Centering is simply consciously opening up an environment in which those moments can happen more often than happenstance. And to do that, I think we need to consciously anchor or get some cues every day in which we can practice it. You know, when you get it in a car, what do you put on? You put on a seatbelt, right?
Right.
I invite people to change their whole naming of that. Call it a centering belt. You know, when you put the centering belt on, the sound of the click, that's an anchor, that's a cue. Right there, before you do anything else, take a moment, take a little retreat in which you can relax the mind and body by getting centered. Just align the body, start breathing, be aware of your breath, start to make distinctions in your surroundings. And before you know it, life is more exciting. You're out a little bit from that worrying about the past, concerned about the future, mulling over in our mind over and over again, our thoughts. You know, most studies have said that 90% of the thoughts we have today are the same thoughts we had yesterday. 90%. What if those thoughts aren't the best ones to have? We continually have them. The centering moment pulls you out of that. Then you get, you know, you're driving along, you get to a traffic light. It's no longer a red light. It's a centering light. What a concept. You know, a lot of, there's been done some research on the average person living, you know, up to maybe 80-some years and in an average life, and they live in a metropolitan area. And studies have shown that in a 80, say, three-year existence in a large city in this country, you're going to be stopped in traffic 6 months, 24/7 of your life.
Oh,
the 6 months, 24/7 were spent not agitating over, I can't proceed because I have a red light and I want to progress in my life and I can't, which creates this internal conflict and stress. What if it was a centering opportunity? And then 20, you know, 24/7 for 6 months, you're in a monastery. That's what you've done. You've red light event into a monastic event in which you're working on the mind and body and you're experiencing a greater clarity and a greater joy. It's this kind of thing built, booting up your computer, another moment in time. Take drinking coffee and make it a tea ceremony. In other words, make it a centering moment. There's so many throughout the day. If people would just take three or four, no more than that, and have such a specific anchor to them that you remember to do the practice, your life will begin to build. Your neurological pathways begin to shift and change, and you're doing it in a way that's fun, and you don't need to add to your daily life. Do it in your daily life. Yes, Center.
I think that's so powerful. And in the foreword of the book, Mark Victor Hansen was talking about surveys showing 75% to 90% of all visits to primary care health physicians are stress-related, and here's the antidote, and it doesn't take more time. It's already in our life. So, you know, the stress reduction from these three deep breaths is profound and powerful and simple. Could we go through them together?
Yeah. You mean actually do them?
Yeah.
Let's talk about them first.
Talk about them and share what they are, and then let's...
On the radio to... I don't know where people are. If you're running a jackhammer in New York City, might be a little bit more difficult in the moment, but you can still hear what I have to say. That first breath is centering. Now, if you can calm the body, and what you're really doing, by the way, scientifically, because all this stuff has been so scientifically verified, the difficulty with issues like stress is we only hear one side of the story. We hear that stress is bad for you, right? Everywhere you pick up the newspaper, stress is bad, and you have these symptoms you're worried about, and then you take pills. Well, pharmaceutical companies make a lot of money making sure you're aware of the difficulties of stress so that you are aware of your symptoms, so therefore you need to go buy this medicine to handle the symptoms. But in fact, if you look at the studies of stress, only half the story has really been told. Stress is one of the best things that can happen for you. Stress can actually strengthen your cognitive processes. For instance, if you put your arm in a bucket of ice water, for instance, and then you had to go take an SAT test, would you be better or worse at it? Well, most people are going to go, well, that's going to be real tough. That's like a torture chamber that I'm putting my arm in a bucket of ice water and studying, and yet research has shown, no, you're actually going to be better at taking that test. Memory, increasing memory and awareness. You know, we basically can only perceive in our average state maybe 40 frames a second. But if we took you up on a bridge and threw you off, you're going to actually remember a lot more. Now, of course, we attach you to a bungee jump so we can test you while we're doing this. And research has been done that absolutely when you're under a certain amount of stress, for instance, that, you actually remember more in terms of random numbers and names. So it's fantastic what can happen. We know that physiological toughening happens. All athletes know if you stress the body, if you break it down, it comes back stronger. When working with the military, there's been a lot of study now that they're starting to recognize that maybe we're priming these young people going into combat with all information about post-traumatic stress, but we also need to inform them about post-traumatic growth. There's tremendous amounts of studies now that almost all of our great breakthroughs in life have happened after a stressful experience. And
wow.
Isn't that fascinating to know that that great growth happens? People have come away in even war experiences with more meaningful relationships, a greater sense of priority, a greater strength, and a greater resiliency. We need to train people and teach people that stress is not bad. Stress, yes, can have deteriorating aspects. That's all true. And yes, it can have great growth aspects. What is the distinction? Well, the distinction is the mindset. How, your attitude about it makes all the difference in the world. That's why placebo is the most powerful healing aspect of all medicines. To get a drug through a clinical trial, it only has to be a small percent better, shown to be a small percent better than a placebo effect. Placebo is basically simply a mindset in the absence of any chemical that actually provides healing. Well, that's hard to do in a clinical lab, to take a drug and prove that it's better than a placebo. So basically, mindset is the key here, which brings about what I call the second breath. Once you've established a center, a level of calmness in the body, being more here, being more present, then you want to engage the mind at the highest level. Gandhi said a beautiful thing. Gandhi said, you know, I never let anybody walk through my mind with dirty feet.
Mm.
What a statement that is, that the ability and the power that he suggests we all have to entertain the thoughts we want to entertain. Now, thoughts are pouring into our mind all the time. We are not our thoughts. We simply have them. We can choose which ones we want to entertain. So very important here is the second breath, which means to literally breathe in your highest purpose. Breathe in the qualities the qualities that you want to have, the quality of feeling you want to have right now. You don't have to wait for a situation to occur to then say, okay, now I can feel all right. At any time, you're at that traffic light. You're going to work. You have those typical tendencies of stress and anxiety. Take a moment to get centered. Then ask yourself, what's my highest purpose and what qualities do I want to exhibit at work? And, you know, you might want to be the best team player you can be. You want to be the most creative you can be. You want to have health and vibrancy. That adds such a gift to everyone around you. So you want to breathe in those qualities. You don't, like, hope that they'll occur. You just start breathing in energy, creativity. Start breathing in. What does it feel like in the cells? What does it feel like? Use the imagination. Einstein said, imagination is at the preview of our coming attractions. This is Einstein. This isn't some fluffy person out there with no grounding in science. Imagination is the preview of the coming attraction. So with that red light, start using that moment to breathe in your highest purpose. If you're going to work, that's one thing. If you're going home, it's a different one. Maybe I want to be the best friend, parent, lover, spouse I can be. So prime yourself for that prior to getting there. The shift will happen in your neurology and in your body. It's a fantastic idea. And if you practice it, significant results happen. So that's the second breath, mindset and purpose. Choose your highest purpose. Breathe it in now. Breathe in the qualities in your cellular tissue. It's not a hope. It's not an expectation. I call it the possibility breath.
Wow.
Breath. Breath.
I'm feeling better already just listening. So we've got the presence and the possibility, and then we move into number three.
Yeah, and number three is the mystery. And that's the one that might take, you know, a little bit more thought. I think the book really, in a beautiful way, starts to point it out as he moves into the mystery. And he's really led there by his child, children have never really left the mystery. It takes a while. We have to be, you know, 10, 13, 11, 12, 13, in that age before it starts to leave us a little bit, and yet it's always available. The mystery is just opening the mind to what you don't know. I'll tell you maybe the best way to describe it is a brief story, and I've told Robin and Gregory, I've told you guys this before, but it happened with me with the humpback whale in Hawaii. And I was with John Denver, and we were trying to create some footage. Jacques Cousteau and John were very dear friends, and the idea was to create some great footage of John and the humpback. And humpbacks, you know, are really big. They're like 40 feet long and 40 tons. And it's what, and that's magnified in the water. Oh, my God, if you're in the water with close to one, it is. And you can't imagine. Well, John is out in the water with these humpbacks, and there are three of them. That's how they are in Hawaii. And there's the mother and the baby, 14 feet, 14 tons, baby, right? And the big male nurse. And John and a cameraman 100 yards off the boat are out there, and somehow John gets between the mother and the baby. You know, there may be 20 or 30 feet on either side of him. The mother starts doing this really aberrated behavior, like swinging back and forth in the water, and there's all this turbulence. So the two experts on the boat, Roger and Katie Payne, are looking at this, and we're going, oh, that doesn't look good. He's between the mother and the child, and that's not a real benign behavior movement, so we're all trying to get him back in. It's 100 yards off the boat where they are, so it's just these little bobbing heads. We're not sure they're getting the message, so Roger looks at me and says, Tom, can you go out and get John? And I'm going, are you talking to me? And of course, I went out there, and I went out there with in our dive gear with Dan McSweeney, a whale researcher, and we're heading out to the rescue, right? Well, John and the cameraman got the message. We miss them. They're back at the boat. Now we're going out there. Now whales, you can imagine, you know, you've seen the whale breach come out of the water. What kind of speed do you have to carry to get 40 tons and 40 feet out of the water in a full breach? All I know is it's really fast. So fast, and we can only see 100-foot visibility. So be with me here, Robin. We're going out there in this blue, blue water. You only can see about 100 feet of pure blue. You don't see anything. And then in the distance, you see this gray cloud. And this gray cloud came rushing up at us at an enormous rate of speed and stopped maybe 10 feet away on a dime with this big eye looking at us. And now if we scan the body, there's this 40 tons, 40 foot long being magnified in the water. You're only 20 feet away with this eye piercing through you. Now, what did I get out of that experience? It was so profound. What I got, Robin, is that I don't know anything. I mean, to be mathematically precise, of all there is to know in this world, how much do you know? I mean, if I put my little finger, my thumb and my forefinger close together and said, this is the amount you know of all there is to know, you'd say, no, that's too large. I can't get my fingers close enough together and still have a gap to represent the amount that you or I know of all there is to know in the universe. So at that moment, I got it. I got that isn't it rather silly to spend so much time trying to be so right about so little? So there I am, and there we are as human beings, constantly trying to defend this position or that position. Every time we have a little bit of stress, a little bit of argument with our relationship, and we have so many relationships in our lives, work and at home, there we are trying to stand on our little position, trying to defend that little piece. And if we can just get outside of that, what I call the mystery, what we don't know, life is extraordinary, and the great teachers are always there. So the third breath is to breathe in the mystery, to let go of judgment. So three simple breaths. Get centered. Get present, in other words. Breathe. Then breathe in the highest qualities of that purpose of who you really are right now. Just engage them. Breathe into the cells. Be purposeful about that. And then third, breathe in the mystery. Let go of all the stuff you think you know. And life can become unbelievably rewarding and powerful in that moment, not waiting for something to happen that feels right for then you can experience the power and the aliveness. It's there every day. You know, that's why I do things like this Magic of Ski program in January and February. People come out and they start to not only learn these skills, but to integrate them in something that's incredibly great to do, whether you're a beginner or an expert. So you go on this mountain and you start exploring learning in a whole new way. And it gets accelerated. And then, we start in the morning and do internal work, dry land, where we learn all these practices, go out and do them, come back together and look at how it works in relationship.
Wow. And it's people's skiing performance transforms as their connection to the whole transforms and their connection to themselves. So whether they're on the golf course, something you love, and the ski mountain that you love, there's wonderful ways to integrate these practices with Tom. And, you know, I'm looking at our time and it's so wonderful to be with you. And we've had a lifetime of wisdom in 30 minutes here, Tom. So I just want to make sure people know how to reach you and how to reach the work. For everyone, Tom has a website called ikiworks.com, AIKIWORKS.com, and you can sign up for Tom's Centering Hints newsletter, which I love receiving and have been receiving it for years. And there's several books you can get on his general mailing list and receive information about the events, whether it's – are you still doing golf, Tom?
Oh, I'm doing those periodically with my son.
He's a professional,
and but that's all about whether or not he's having another baby or not. So, see, that's
important.
But what I am doing, of course, the last 25 years is the Magic of Skiing program, which is just extraordinary. And that can be magicofskiing.com. They could find out that either on my website or directly to magicofskiing.com.
Great. And it doesn't matter what level skiing anyone is, correct?
Anyone, yeah. You learn things that you can apply to every aspect of your life, have an extraordinary time doing it. I have the best pros on the planet that work with everyone, including I also work with everybody every day, all day, and it's just a fabulous program.
I love it. And then there's Tom's three books, The Magic of Conflict, which was the first one, and that's where I got introduced to you, Tom, and realizing that conflict, as I'm remembering, is one of the best kinds of sandpaper to polish and improve our life, and you do such a magnificent job with that, using the metaphor of Aikido and moving with the energy. And then your second book, Tom, I didn't want that one to end. That took me through a stressful situation, and I went, I want more. Great story.
It's true stories. Yeah.
And Tom's just a totally delightful writer and has gotten himself in these predicaments and how centering.
Haven't we all?
yeah, but I think yours are in a whole other realm, and how you got out of them from centering. And then this new book, I think, is one of the best gifts you can give to someone who you love and care about, because it is so simple and people can apply it immediately, called Three Deep Breaths, Finding Power and Purpose in a Stressed Out World. And so at this time, any other final comments, Tom, before we close our recording for our 30 minutes?
Yeah, my final comment, Robin, is to thank you for what you're doing to bring people on and to talk about these things. We need more talk like this, unless Republican-Democratic fights. And I think you're just doing a great service. Robin, you always have. You've been a real delight in my life. And then you teamed with Gregory, and then it even became more impactful what you guys do. You're such a loving presence, and I'm just very grateful to have you in my life.
Thank you. I got to see you soon. It's been way too long. So at this time, we're going to close the recording, and next week, I do believe we're going to have something completely different, a technology to learn called Audio Acrobat that can make a difference for when you want to listen to a call like this again. We have the website. You can go to enlightenednetworking.com and go to the resource page and click on anyone you want to hear. We've had some
fabulous speakers, and it gets updated regularly. So for a week, Tom's call will be on recording, and then it'll go up on the website. But please do join our email list by going to the website and get connected with us, and you'll get updated on what's happening. And we will complete our call for now for the recording, and then Tom agreed to stay on for just a quick few minutes. He's got another appointment, but he'll stay on for a few minutes to do some Q&A. So at this time, any other comments, Gregory?
Well, I'll just briefly jump in and say thank you. Thank you, Tom. It's been way too long since we've been together. I remember attending one of your seminars years ago, and it made a major shift in my life and teaching me the principles of centering. And every year I threaten myself to go off on the magic of skiing trip with you. And this year, Robin and I are talking about it again because I just know it will be a life-changing experience. So maybe we'll see you on the mountain next month.
I look forward to it. It'd be great to see you guys again.
That would be awesome.
I love it. I love it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It is a joy. And this man, as I think everyone can hear, is magic. So at this time, we'll complete our recording and stand by for just a moment, please.